Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is our 927th day together in the Word of God. And we come now back to Jeremiah 42, and Johanan, who's been the hero of the story to this point, well, we'll see what happens today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, all parts of it. Please write Jeremiah 42 on our hearts and teach us how to learn from your word and how to walk more faithfully with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Jeremiah 42. Then all the commanders of the forces, and Johanan the son of Korea, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshea, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Let us plead for mercy. Let our plea for mercy come before you, and pray to the Lord your God for us, for all this remnant, because we are left with but a few, as your eyes see us, that the Lord your God may show us the way we should go and the thing that we should do." Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I have heard you. Behold, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your request. And whatever the Lord answers you, I will tell you. I will keep nothing back from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us. Whether it is for good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." At the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he summoned Johanan the son of Korea, and all the commanders of the forces who were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest, and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your plea for mercy before him. If you remain in this land, then I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent of the disaster that I did to you. Do not fear the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not fear him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. I will grant you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and let you remain in your own land. But if you say, 'We will not remain in this land,' disobeying the voice of the Lord your God and saying, 'No, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we will not see war or hear the sound of the trumpet or be hungry for bread, and we will dwell there,' then hear the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you set your faces to enter Egypt and go to live there, then the sword that you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine of which you are afraid shall follow close after you to Egypt, and there you shall die. All the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to live there shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. They shall have no remnant or survivor from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my wrath were poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my wrath will be poured out on you when you go to Egypt. You will become an execration, a horror, a curse, a taunt. You will see this place no more. The Lord has said to you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know for a certainty that I have warned you this day that you have gone astray at the cost of your lives. For you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us to the Lord our God, and whatever the Lord our God says, declare to us, and we will do it.' And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God in anything that he sent me to tell you. Now therefore know for a certainty that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to live." And as you can see, chapter 43, I wish we could just keep going, but chapter 43, they're not only going to go to Egypt, but they're going to take Jeremiah as a prisoner along with them. This is horrible, right? So much for Johanan being a hero. Starts off so well, but then takes this turn. It's very straightforward what's happening here. The people who have defeated Ishmael and had sent him packing to the Ammonites, they're afraid of the Babylonians. They come to Jeremiah. They want to go to Egypt. They're already planning that. Okay, so look back in verse 17 of our last chapter. And they went and stayed at Gareth-Chinnim near Bethlehem, intending to go to Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them. So that's important to note. Their intention was already to go to Egypt, and they were acting out of fear. So they come to Jeremiah, and they say, plead. Plead for mercy, and pray. Pray to the Lord your God for us, for all this remnant. Notice they don't say to the Lord our God. They say to the Lord your God. They know that Jeremiah is a true prophet of the Lord. And it seems like, it just certainly seems like they want to honor the Lord. They're so clear. They say that the Lord your God may show us the way we should go and the thing that we should do. And Jeremiah says, look, I'm gonna answer you. Okay? I'm gonna pray. And they say, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word which the Lord your God sends to us. So why did they do it then? Two reasons. And they're the reasons that we already saw before they ever started asking Jeremiah to pray. They had already intended to go to Egypt, and they were afraid of the king of Babylon. So let's get real for a minute. Why is it that we, who know the Lord, who know the word of the Lord, why is it that we sometimes willfully disobey God? Why would we disobey the plain word of God and rationalize it and justify it in our minds? It's because we already have our plans of what we intend to do for our purposes, and we don't like to change those. We don't like to be told, no, you shouldn't do that. And we're afraid. We're afraid of people. We're afraid of circumstances. We're afraid of earthly things. And we don't fear the Lord more than we fear men. The reason why God's people are disloyal is really oftentimes, not 100% always, but oftentimes, so often, comes down to those two realities. We've made our own plans by our own priorities for our own purposes, and we intend to keep those plans. Oftentimes out of fear. And then, we don't fear the Lord more than we fear people or earthly circumstances. Let me give you some examples. Let's say there's an opportunity to go on a mission trip somewhere, and you really think the Lord is impressing on your heart that you should go. You should go and you should serve, but you think, I mean, I had other things I wanted to do with my summer. We were going to go to the beach. We were going to go visit Aunt So-and-so. It's going to cost money. I'd have to ask people for money for the trip, and that's kind of awkward. I don't really want to do that. It makes me uncomfortable. And besides, what if I get a disease, or what if something happens? What if I get into an accident? We start immediately making all the excuses of why we can't go. What are we doing? We're saying, I already have my plans. I want to go to the beach. I want to go visit my aunt so-and-so. I have what I want to do for my reasons. And besides, I'm afraid. You can put that into 100 different. The Lord tells you to tithe. Give 10% of your income directly to the local church off the top, tithe. Okay, but I mean, I was going to get a new car because my car's getting a little bit old, and there's that porch I wanted to put on the back of the house, and well, boy, we'd have to cut back on our vacation. I kind of had plans for that money already, and I'm afraid, what if I tithe and then I don't have the money that I need to be able to pay these expenses that might come up? What are we doing? Making our plans to do what we want to do, and then being afraid of obeying God. And you can multiply this in any situation. Why don't we witness to people? Why don't we attend church very faithfully? Well, if my kid misses this tournament on Sunday, they'll be kicked off the travel soccer team. And this is a big tournament. It's really important to us. we could win the championship. I have my plans. And I'm afraid that if my kid doesn't show up, they're going to be ridiculed or mocked or ostracized or maybe even kicked off the team. Again, so many times when God's word is clear, when what God calls us to do is unambiguous, we don't do it because we have other plans that we would rather pursue and we're afraid. Which means we don't really believe that God's ways are better than our ways, that God's word is better than our plans, and we don't fear the Lord more than we fear other people. So this chapter confronts us. We see these Judahites and we think, how foolish can they be? They asked Jeremiah to pray for them. Jeremiah prayed for them. He prayed for 10 days. He comes back with a clear word from the Lord and they're going to disregard it? But if we're shocked at their behavior, we need to see ourselves and we need to repent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you call us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. That means some very real and practical things. That means making your church the priority in our lives, to tithe, to attend, to participate, to support the worship and work of the church to the best of our ability, to support missions, the advance of the gospel in the world. That means we should be giving sacrificially of our money and of our time, and yet we don't. We make excuses because we have other things we would rather do and we're afraid. We're afraid of what it would cost. We're afraid of what people would think. Forgive us. Forgive us and have mercy on us and change our hearts to love you, to trust you, to fear you, and to follow you. You must do this work in our hearts. By your Holy Spirit, we need you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's Jeremiah 42. Not an easy chapter. I know I'm feeling convicted. If you think all the pastors laying on the guilt thick, let me just tell you, I feel the conviction first. And I'm the one who needs to hear this. Yes, I'm a pastor. And yes, but there's so many times when I fall into this trap too. So just you pray for me and I'll pray for you. Have a blessed day in the Lord.